in a world where identities are swallowed by corporations yearning for your hard-earned money, and the human experience gets further reduced into sellable ad space for the same greedy mongoloids that never had a childhood themselves, few public spaces remain truly untouched, as is the case with the Joe Van Secret Podcast. This is episode 19. We are now into November. Goodbye until next year, Halloween. For my guest here, the last episode I did was a Halloween-themed one. So
awesome.
For the audience, it's like a second went by, because they're just listening to that and jumping on this one, binge-watching all these. So this is guest number 18 I'm with. Guest 18, please say hello.
Hello, hello.
So before we jump into the questions, we'll start with some fun facts. So the first one I got for everyone is the fortune cookie was invented in San Francisco. So there you go. It could have been invented by someone who was Chinese, but it did not come from China. Another fun fact I have for you guys here. Broccoli and cauliflower are the only vegetables that are also flowers. So I figure that's kind of interesting.
That's interesting.
And the last one I got for you here, this one's not so much of a fun fact, but it's still a fact nonetheless. At the height of its power in 400 BC, the Greek city of Sparta had 25,000 citizens and 500,000 slaves. That is messed up. That number difference. Slaves should always be at zero, but it's like 500,000 for only 25.
So technically their slaves were citizens?
They should be, right? I guess they didn't consider them citizens back in the day. They didn't have the same rights.
Interesting.
But holy moly. Anyway, there you go. There's the fun fact segment of the show. So instead of jumping into the personal questions, which I normally do for the other guests, I'm thinking of trying something a little new today where we dive into some more topical questions first. Talk about the world and what's going on in it. I don't know if this will be consistent, but still, you know, I think it's worth mentioning, right? We don't live in a bubble. There's, you know, an outside to
yeah,
us.
Yeah, for sure.
So I guess I'll start by asking you, how do you feel about weed being legalized? Do you love it, hate it, or not care? Where's your stance?
To be honest, it makes no difference to me. I mean, I think I actually started using it a lot less since it has been legalized.
True.
It's gonna be
all of a sudden it's not cool.
yeah, exactly.
Black
yeah.
market's not involved
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I guess, I would have loved it 4 years ago.
Yeah,
6 years
yeah.
ago when I was in school, but now it's kind of just life passes you by and you're like, yeah.
It's less habitual.
Like one day it was illegal and now it's legal. So
yeah.
there,
it's like it's cool.
It yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because that's the same with me. It's like, you know, I'm not a stoner. Nothing against stoners, obviously, but I just don't have the mentality where
no,
I'm like,
for sure, yeah.
Because it's like, it seems like this should be a super cool thing. Like, I don't know why, but I thought in my head once it happened, it's like people mm-hmm. would be on the street smoking weed and stuff.
Yeah.
But
well, they said that...
I think it's the same as alcohol. It's not allowed.
I heard actually that you were allowed to smoke it wherever you're allowed to smoke cigarettes.
Yeah,
but
wow.
then,
yeah.
But then I heard that was that wasn't like I guess made into fruition quite yet. But that's
okay.
where I think Ontario is going because we
yeah,
had to talk
it is
about
gonna
it
be
at
province
work,
specific.
Legally, like
okay.
from our legal team, and they said because
they're like, are you gonna get high and then go back
oh,
to
yeah.
work? Right.
Well. Well, definitely not that. We
it's
made
the same as alcohol. You can't
yeah,
come into work drunk.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
kind of obvious. But they
yeah.
they sent out a whole communication saying, "Hey, like these are the rules of engagement.
Yeah.
Treat it like alcohol, and you'll probably be fine,
yeah.
right?" But something that was interesting, actually, from a corporate perspective, for us is that we have a lot of meetings and stuff like that. So it's
yeah.
like, what like, and at social meetings, like we drink, right?
True. Okay.
So
yeah, yeah.
what? What's the process around smoking marijuana, like smoking weed?
Yeah.
Like, is that accepted? Is it like legal but not socially accepted in work
True.
Functions? Or
Cause
what was
it,
that? Right?
Yeah, because it is different. It's not that, like, you can have one beer,
mm-hmm.
but you can't just have one joint. Like,
yeah,
even if
exactly.
you have one hit, it's like, that gets people completely
exactly.
high.
And, I mean, rule of thumb for me is, like, if I'm going to be social, I'm not going to be smoking weed.
Yeah.
Unless it's with
yeah.
other people who are
I'm that way, too. It's like, yeah, if I'm getting high, it's usually with someone close to me. I don't do it at parties. It's like, I'll just do it in a safe environment.
Yeah.
But that's because, yeah, everybody has different brain chemistry, and that's extremely apparent when it comes to weed. It's like some people, like Seth Rogen, are just like, it just enhances them in every way, and then other people,
And different, different strains do different, completely different things to you.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And depending on if it's got more THC or CBC, I think the other one's called.
Yeah, CBD.
CBD, and yeah.
I definitely don't believe in... Well, at least for me, is in marijuana as a solution to anxiety. I think the higher the THC content, the more anxious you get.
Yeah, like if it's the CBD, maybe, because that's supposed to be the more mellow chemical.
Yeah, maybe.
But that's still, like, it wouldn't cure anxiety. It's like, because I feel like we currently, and I guess have for a while, like since commercialism, basically, we've lived in a society where it's like just happy all the time, and we don't really take into consideration. Like, you can't get rid of certain elements. It's like, if we're going to be creatures that are self-aware, which gives us an edge on all other life on Earth, so it's like, we do dominate the planet, so it's like, we won. But being this smart causes anxiety and depression. Those two things come with knowing that you're going to die, right? Being self-aware means, seeing your reflection in, like, a river, if we're talking 10,000 years ago, and then, you know, you look back 10 years later, and you're, like, an older person. And you're
For
like,
sure, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, no, it's
one day.
It's a really good point. I've never thought about it from that perspective, though.
Yeah.
Being self-aware is
causes
kind of
like the mental conditions.
I guess aware that we have control over conscious, that we can,
like, also understand that we're non-controllable a lot of stuff. And
that's true. Yeah, the lack of control is definitely
the sucky part.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Which is weird, because it's like, like our brains are put together in a way where we find patterns in things. And we enjoy control, like it gives us a sense of calm, having order. But at the same time, we're social creatures, so it's like it's also in us for chaos, right? For different input constantly and stuff. So,
yeah, I think it's definitely streamlining that information and understanding, like perspective, really helps with that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in the same way, it's, like, I'll always be humble about your position here, right? It's like if you think it's worth being an asshole for 10 years to get maybe the top position at your company or something. It's like you're just leaving the world in a worse place.
In a worse place, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
because it's like, hey, doesn't matter how rich you get, doesn't matter how many ladies or men you get under your belt. It's like we all still die, so it's like
for sure. Yeah,
when you it helps to look at the big picture sometimes. So
I don't know if have you ever heard of Man's Search for Meaning, like by Viktor Frankl.
What is it? A book? A documentary?
Book.
I've definitely heard that title, but no, I don't know anything about it.
So he,
but it seems kind of self-explanatory.
He's, basically kind of describes, like, what life's all about, by describing his experiences in the Holocaust. So he was a psychologist in the Holocaust, and then he, wrote about, his experiences in the Holocaust and actually studying other people.
Yeah.
So what he figured out was the thing that separated people from surviving versus people from dying, like the survivors from the people who died, a lot of the time, like, was the will to live. So I mean, other than murder obviously, but it was the will to live. So, like, purpose has plays a huge part in life, and then that, when you relate that back to, like, social anxiety and depression, I think a lot of it is related back to, you know, we are self-aware creatures. Like, what does that mean for our position in this world? Like, if you have a lack of purpose, then I think that brings,
you're screwed.
Yeah, like, it's like a lot of different problems, right? So you kind of have to find your thing and go with it.
Yeah, because it's definitely scale. It's like, it's good to see the big picture.
Yeah.
Like, if you know, if you might catch yourself being an asshole, but don't only look at the big picture, because then you'll, you know, that's the problem of philosophy, right? That's why there are philosophers that are, like, homeless and just constantly in, like, existential crisis, right? Because they're dealing with the fact that it's like, what's the point of doing anything if in 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, it won't matter for me, because I'll be gone. It's like, because you gotta hone it in.
Exactly.
Right? The meaning of life is what you make. So
that's a good point. And one of the key principles from that book is the only... true freedom we have left is our freedom to choose our attitude in any given situation.
Yeah, that's true. You can choose your mentality.
You can choose your mentality, You can't choose your parents.
Can't choose the country you're born in or anything like that.
The situations that are dealt to you, a lot of the time you can't choose what happens because there's so many external factors. So
yeah,
I don't know. That's a good point.
But then at the same time, right? It's very poetic to say stuff like that. But since learning about like neuroscience and stuff, we realize that there's a lot of other obstacles where it's like schizophrenia, if you have bipolarism, if you have like acute autism, right? Where you might not even know that you're autistic, but you keep finding out that you're struggling with relationships or keeping jobs and stuff because you don't know how to communicate with people properly. It's like so many things that we don't have in our control.
That's true,
But then, yeah, I think the mentality is still the place to put it where it's like, if you're like, if you're depression prone because maybe it's hereditary and it runs in your family. Which actually, I don't know if this is a full study, but I remember reading something about this where that's a situation that a lot of people whose ancestors were slaves dealt with, where it's like if it isn't like a systemic problem, it's a hereditary problem. Where it's
you're saying it's a genetic thing, which I totally believe actually.
Because alcoholism is genetic. Yeah. Any sort of addiction prone thing is genetic. Gambling specifically can be hereditary, which I have no gambling bone in my body whatsoever. Like, I think it's the dumbest thing, seeing people do it, but it's like, I can't understand why people think that's a smart idea, but it's like, that's because it's literally just a mentality that they were born with without realizing. Mm-hmm. And then by the time they hit puberty or something, it started to manifest itself, and just the brain is wired a certain way where
people who are addicted to gambling or
like doing anything relating to that, because it's like different types of addiction, like alcoholism or with cigarettes specifically or with gambling, where it's like with gambling it's reward versus loss, where in their brain, because you can be taught out of having certain addictions, right, like with alcoholism, with everything, and with gambling, the reason why gambling works is that it tricks people into thinking, if I give $5 I could win $20. But what they aren't seeing is that they're losing $5 just for a chance.
Yeah.
And and the house always wins, which is the biggest thing where it's like, why do you think like...
Yeah, statistically speaking, you're entering screwed. A losing situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like investing in a stock that doesn't constantly grow.
Yeah. Investing in startup companies constantly.
It's
the majority...
In weed stocks. In weed stocks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But... it's nuts. Anyway, so weed's legalized. Yep. You know, neither of us are going to become stoners, but I still think that's a good thing.
I was a stoner.
You were a stoner, So could fall back into it because it'll be edibles. You know,
I'm sure I'll buy, but I don't have nearly as much time to smoke anymore.
It
doesn't affect me as much.
And then so another topic that's in the news, which doesn't relate specifically to us, although I think. I forget the name of this volunteer group, but there's a group getting set up at the Texas border, and they're saying that they have two Canadians helping them. And it's all just a bunch of people with firearms that just don't like immigrants, basically.
Wow.
And because they're saying the military isn't going to help. Like, we're only getting a certain number of people. We need more military to stop them from crossing the border. Because there is a caravan. They're saying it's a caravan, but it's really like a whole line of people. It's like a convoy, basically. Of immigrants coming from Central America all the way up to America, the U.S.
Okay.
And, I mean, I'm sure even, like, maybe 20% of them will just stay in Mexico because, like, they're, you know, that's still probably better than where they came from, which is the reason why they want to migrate.
But part of the border are they coming through, like, El Paso or...?
Whichever the right side is. I should know this geographically. But the one that'll put them where Texas is.
Okay.
Rather than California.
Okay.
Big convoys coming. The midterms are coming up. Yeah. Or wait, so we're recording this on November 6th. I think today is the midterm election. So it'll be too late. So this is already not news anymore. Well, whatever. The caravan's still coming. So that's like another month away, maybe. But
just to clarify, what's the purpose of the caravan? Like,
it's just a movement. It just got people involved where it's now like in the tens of thousands.
And they said it was started by two Canadians?
No, sorry. So the two Canadians that it started, they're just... I said this is probably the only way that it relates.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we're Canadians and this is like bringing them into it is that, there's a group of like just armed people who have they're not part of the military or police, and they're just literally getting ready to kill anybody who tries to cross the border. Geez. They're just lining themselves up. They already have like 300 people. It's insane.
That's crazy.
It's weird the mentality they have, because it's like I saw a comic strip where there was a Native American like on a... Horace and is looking at this, at like just this long line of pilgrims, I guess they were called back in the day, just traveling through the land. And the native person is just like, oh, look, another convoy of people, another convoy of immigrants showing up. And it's like literally the same situation that's happening now. But these very proud Americans don't see it that way. They're like, no, this is our land, and they're coming in. Yeah. It's like, it's all relative, so I guess, you know, it's been enough years now, or maybe it is, you know, your land, or it's been your land for however many generations.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It's not
right,
like they're
right
taking
time for the midterm election.
Yeah, so they're saying, because of the disparaging things Trump is saying, because obviously mm-hmm. he's just spouting slander and saying, like, oh, they're sending in the murderers, the rapists.
Exactly.
And it's like,
that's...
they're not. There's like women and children.
Yeah, exactly,
like it,
yeah.
It's families. It's like there obviously must be. It's the same thing where it's
like
you'll find one bad Skittle in a batch kind of thing.
Murderers and rapists from Central America, I think they have better things to do.
Yeah, like if they have that type of... Yeah, they're not going to take a convoy. It's,
yeah.
They're doing their own thing, whether it's gang
exactly.
related. They're not playing this slow con where it's the, you know, the long con of traveling.
Wouldn't that be the logical thing way to think about that? I don't
yeah,
know.
But it's, you know, trying to amp people up.
Yeah,
We'll find out tomorrow, or the audience will already know
yeah.
whether or not the Democrats take majority. But right now, it's just all Republicans, so we'll see if anything changes.
Yeah.
I think it will, because they say it always goes back and forth. It doesn't. It's not always two terms, but with presidents, they go it's Republican and
yep.
the Democrat, and Republican and Democrat. So Obama was there for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
He probably would have won, obviously, if he had done against
mm-hmm.
Trump, but
yep.
he couldn't.
He couldn't.
And then nobody likes
terms.
Hillary, so. You know,
yep.
sucks to be her. Because that
yeah,
was the best
really
chance that she had, right? Like, how many times has she tried?
I know.
3, 4? I don't know the specific
I kind of...
But...
I mean, the U.S. democratic system is kind of funny.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure Sanders was doing as good, and they just, like,
yeah.
kicked him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact there's only two options. It's
there's
like, at least for
options.
Us, we have three. But even then, it should be...
Oh, we have more than three. We just don't... We only...
It's what you focus on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jacket. It's crazy, but anyway. So though that's the current events,
mm-hmm.
or at least the caravan is no longer current.
Yeah,
it is coming up. But yeah. So now let's jump into you. So here you are. You're a mystery. Nobody knows who you are, and you don't have a plug. You're not an artist. You're not trying to sell anything. So
mm-hmm.
no one will find out your identity in this episode, because that's the only way. Right at the end of the episode,
yeah.
they'll say a plug, so they have to say
mm-hmm.
their name, because they're like, come check out this website or whatever. So I guess the first personal question I will ask is, how was your day?
My day was good.
Good day.
It was nice. A good day, yeah. I just got back from vacation.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I was in Mexico. Didn't
see
any caravans coming through.
Yeah, I'm sure it's on its way.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, day was good. I was in downtown today.
Nice.
Did some meetings.
Oh, so you're, like, you just came back in the same day
yeah.
kind of thing? Or?
Oh, I came back yesterday, and
yeah.
then...
How long of a flight is that? Is that, like, five?
Four and a half hours.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Yeah. It's pretty short, actually, but, yeah, it was a good vacation, and then came back, right back to work, so that's...
Keeping busy, I guess.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
exactly.
One way to do it.
Yeah.
I don't do this anymore, but they're... back when I worked at Davy Trees, so if anyone's listening from Davy Trees, I mean, you know, I have nothing to hide. I would say I'm going on vacation, so I would take like 4 or 5 days off, but I really only needed 3. So it's like I would give myself an extra day off just to do nothing.
Exactly.
But
I don't know, what I tried to do too, because
yeah, just one extra day. You say, yeah, I'll be gone for 8 days instead.
I'll be gone
seven.
For 8 days. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it's nice to have that extra day, especially when you're traveling. Like.
Yeah, because, mm-hmm. you know, even if there isn't that much of a jet lag, it's still
mm-hmm.
the process is exhausting, right? Because
yeah.
you're just stiff. You're, like, sitting on a place for however many hours. Yeah. So nice.
How was your day?
Was beautiful. It was good. My day today was not very stressful compared to last week.
Okay.
Every single work day last week was extremely stressful because the main supervisor of the place that I was at was on vacation. So I was put in charge of a situation that I was not fully trained for. So every single day was just complete insanity and chaos. And, you know, I still made it through,
mm-hmm.
but I was not enjoying life. Like, it sucked. It was very,
oh, yeah.
very bad experience.
Was it, like, a people problem?
No, it was like, I had to organize a list of product
mm-hmm.
that would be getting shipped out, and I didn't know what I was doing, because it's like, because I have to go through what we might already have in the back versus what we have to make in the kitchen.
Okay.
And it was just insanity, so... This week is just super breezy compared to that, right? Like, I could have a 12-hour shift and not even care. So, you know, it's so it was a good day today. Yeah. I worked. Awesome. I listened to some podcasts.
Nice.
Gotta give a shout out to the Waking Up podcast. Do you know about that?
The Waking Up podcast?
Yeah.
I do not.
It's Sam Harris. He's a controversial guy. Mm. He's a neuroscientist and started a podcast where
that's his podcast?
People. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know. I mean,
is Rogan's bigger now, or is he's still the biggest?
Rogan is like number one.
Or was it Tim Ferriss that had the biggest podcast?
Which one was his?
I'm not sure what it was called, but
sure. I don't know. I feel like Rogan should be. That's the only one that I hear about. Like, I don't hear about anything
else,
right? But yeah, so on to the
until yours.
Until mine, that's right. Till this blows up in, you know, 6 months from now, because I'm from the future. I know this kind of thing. No, honestly, I don't think I would want it to blow up. This is just a hobby. Because, like, I'm recording this on my laptop instead of a professional microphone. So clearly I'm not putting in a certain amount of effort that would deem it worthy of blowing up. Because, you know, I don't want to throw commercials in there. It'd be great if I could make an income off it, but yeah, I feel like the waters would get a little muddied if I did that. I would try and make it something else. I would create a different podcast if it became popular. Mm-hmm. I'll go, so this is still just a hobby thing, but if you guys like
my
me,
hobby,
yeah,
it's not work.
I'm going to do a different one. I'll do like a movie podcast or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so actually, okay, so I'm gonna get back to this. I'm going to ask you where you work, but not yet.
Okay. Can I disclose the company name, or is that like...
That doesn't give anything away, because how many people are employed there? In the hundreds of thousands, or...
No. Yeah.
20?
I don't think anyone will know, so I think we're good.
So before we get into that super random question, if you had to choose, would you say that we live in the multiverse, or just the universe? What's your
I'm a multiverse kind of...
Multiverse guy?
Yeah. Because... the idea that our universe is the be-all end-all, like, doesn't make any sense to me. When I was growing up, one of the biggest questions I always had was, what's at the end of the universe?
Like, yeah, where does it keep going?
Yeah, where does it keep going?
Push the bubble.
To?
Yeah, that happens. Like,
right?
Pop,
yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I'm definitely a multiverse believer.
Yeah.
I mean, you see that Rick and Morty episode too with the all the little
oh my god.
Like,
well, there's
awesome.
The mini universes, but then there was also the other episode where it was just all of the Ricks and all of the Mortys
and
all the other multiverses in one city, and it's like one of them's like a cop and he's got like a beer belly. You're like, what is
exactly
going on?
What's going on?
Yeah, that's nuts.
Where they're all Gazorp.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh man.
Yeah, so like the multiverse. I'm open to all three possibilities, because there are actually three. You got the multiverse, just the universe, but then also the universe as we know it, but then outside there are more. So there is a branching. It is like a bubble. Like, there was a big bang that exploded, creating existence.
Yeah.
And then the only thing keeping it together, they say, is antimatter. That's what the vacuum of space is, because otherwise...
Black matter? Or black space?
Dark energy.
Dark matter.
But then... on the outside, there are other bubbles constantly popping. So this doesn't answer the question, because then you go, okay, then what's outside that? And then you just keep going and
keep going.
You know, it's the same of like, oh, like the God question, where it's like, okay, if God created all of us, then who created him? You say he's without time, or you say there's super God created God. And you go, who created super God?
Yeah.
Super duper God created. Because it doesn't answer the question. It just keeps layering up, or it says it ends there. And it's like, if it just ends at the God, then why doesn't it just end at us, kind of thing? So... yeah, the layer question, you know, it's paradoxical because there's no way to know. But as far as the multiverse goes, it takes time into the equation where we make decisions in our brains. They're done through electrons hitting different parts of the brain, collecting things together in your frontal lobe, which is the personality, and says, that's what I'm going to do. You flip a coin, it lands on heads or tails. There could be a different universe where it lands on the opposite. And that's where a lot of the idea, I think, originally started in the 80s or whatever for the multiverse, is that the multiverse is where different timelines exist, like where Hitler won or something like that, or where dinosaurs still roam the earth, right? So for me, I think it's the universe, but there's more bubbles, but that still doesn't answer the question, and just as equally the multiverse, right? Because I have no idea. Because, when you go down into microphysics...
quantum physics.
Quantum. Yeah, I sound like an idiot. Quantum physics.
String theory.
Things start getting really fuzzy and blurry, and we just can't see it anymore.
Yep.
And then they start acting
like Electron has never been actually seen.
Yeah, we just draw a circle. We don't know if it's a circle, if it's
triangle. We know it's there. Like, it's never been physically observed.
Yeah, because we can see things react to it, but we can't see it. Because think about it, you have to shine a light to see something. For us to observe it, we have to be able to see it. For us to see it, there light needs to be on it. What if we're trying to like look at a photon? That is light itself. It's impossible. You can't look at it. Like, it exists, but you can't view it. It's unobservable, you know? The smaller it's an impossibility. It's crazy to think about. But yeah, anyway, so you're gonna go with multiverse?
Multiverse or I mean, I don't know where this would lie, but I kind of believe that it's just like a constant creation and destruction.
How do you mean, like the last Thursday theory, where it's like the whole
universe? Yeah, like it's just Thursday. Cycles of just, you know, like creation, and then it goes through and
destruction. Like the big crunch, and then the big thing happens again.
Yeah,
yeah, that was spieled about with Matthew McConaughey on True Detective season one, and he talks about it in a really dark way where it's like, you know, this little girl who was like murdered by this guy, she has to experience that over and over again in this cyclical timeline where the universe ends and starts again, so she is constantly experiencing, and we're experiencing
this. That's crazy that you remember that.
We don't remember
from that show.
Well, yeah, anything that's philosophical, I'm always like, hey, like,
you know, that's like very like specific,
but it completely pertains to this.
Yeah, no, it's true.
So yeah, cyclicality is one. Another one is the potential that this is virtual reality. Because that's what Elon Musk is obsessed about.
Elon Musk is, obsessed with that.
He believes that it's real. He's like, this is it.
I could understand where he's coming from. Like, program the universe.
Where it's just the laws of physics, and then you hit start, and then it just reacts. So, yeah, that's entirely possible. But the one thing that I would throw into that is the same argument can be said about the whole God concept, right? Where it's like, okay, so someone created this universe, then who created that person?
Yeah.
And then let's say that that person who created us is in a artificial universe, then who created that one? And it just keeps going. So it's just a layered effect. So either this is just reality and this wasn't created intentionally or in you know, an 80s computer screen, or it happens infinitely forever. Because it's like, where do you draw the line? Where do you put the point? Oh, after the two layers of creation or after the whatever. So, who knows?
My question is, what's the benefit of knowing or not knowing?
Okay, so yeah, that's a great one. Because there's a guy in my work, and I think I've mentioned this podcast before, that believes that the moon landing was fake. And I go, okay, so what does that change?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that's the big thing with conspiracy theorists is... they feel so impassioned about knowing the truth because they feel they're being lied to by Big Brother or by... Because the whole concept of conspiracy theories is that they know something you don't. So that's why people love it so much.
Like, I guess
they know the
people
secret.
Are so fixated on proving each other wrong that...
Yeah, or even more than that. It might... Because usually people who are conspiracy theorists aren't very smart. It's like a rare few actually are graduated and are... on the higher intelligence level. It's usually people who aren't that smart, who just...
Who are conspiracy theorists?
Yeah.
Okay, so
So it's like, I'm smarter than you. I know something you don't.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's that mentality as well. It's having that knowledge is like power, is whatever, right? Because maybe when they're in school or something, they're always told they're dumb.
So I know people who are... Well, I don't know, but I've heard that people who are naturally skeptical tend to be a little bit more, like, smarter because they actually go...
They question.
They question, and you... follow that process of questioning and actually do your own research rather than just taking in the information that you're hearing.
Right? That you're given, And so then that can also be a credence to conspiracy theories. So maybe the people who created the conspiracy theories are the skeptical ones, and then the people who follow that aren't so much.
Not skeptical, they just...
Yeah. So yeah, that's probably where I draw the line. But this is all, you know, just speculation. So we don't. Yeah. Are you a conspiracy theorist? I should ask that first before going off on this. They're all fucking idiots. And then you go, hey,
don't ask me about 9/11.
Yeah, Jeff Buell can't melt steel beams.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, who knows and who cares?
Who knows?
It doesn't change my life.
Seriously, like sometimes I go down this rabbit hole. And I'm like, I start thinking, I get really existential.
Yeah,
and then I sit and think like, why the hell?
And then you
I
go, all right,
I need to go to sleep. Yeah.
This changes nothing. I still have to go to work tomorrow.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, not to disparage anyone who wants to dive into things, sure. Like, because I was definitely skeptical about 9/11 back in, I think, 2007. I watched the movie, what was it called? I think it was called Zeitgeist. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's where...
They, like, disprove religion.
Yeah, they talk about religion, they talk about the economy, how money works, and they talk about 9/11.
Yeah.
And so it's like they're talking about all these other things that make sense, and then they start talking about 9/11. So it's like you combine the fact, it's almost like the authority complex where it's like, this person knows more, so I'm going to trust them. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I believed in the 9/11 because I was like totally believing all the religious stuff they were saying.
Yeah.
How it's like other religions are just attributed from past ones.
Which I totally believe.
It makes sense. Yeah, when you think of the North Star, when you think of the three wise men, those three stars, it's like they literally built giant statues. The three pyramids are based off of the three kings that are supposed to be the people who follow the North Star to Jesus. So it's like, it seems like the Jesus story is just a metaphor for the Egyptian story.
For sure, yeah.
Which, it's crazy.
The thing is, though, that it's amazing, though, that they were able to do the things they were, like, ancient civilizations.
So smart, like...
Again, going back to the concept of purpose, like, if they didn't have something to hold them accountable to that, other than, like, survival, which is obviously...
That's the baseline.
Yeah. But maybe... that extra level of purpose or accountability, like to God, made them able to do the things they were able to do with limited resources.
Yeah,
which, I mean, bad things came from that too. What's that?
You're right about how we can't do that now. First and foremost, is because we don't have slaves.
If we had slave labor,
because it's like the bad thing to come from having that specific drive and belief structure is that. The Hebrews had a different belief structure than Ra and Set and all of the gods that the Egyptians believed.
Which creates conflict.
Which still exists today. It's like, they're not us. They're animals. And so we're going to just use them for slave labor.
Yeah.
So it's a good and a bad, right? Where it's like, can give you this driving force that can create such amazing things like, you know, 5,000-year-old pyramids. Like, that's insane. That's crazy. The Sphinx is 10,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts. There used to be rivers that ran through where and they collected all this stuff. It's ingenious to think about.
So that we know right now.
I don't know if it's out yet on how they did it, because first they were saying they rolled logs to move all the stuff.
And now they're saying there's some sort of hydronic system.
Yeah, they're saying that there was a river that they used. So obviously we can't go back in time, but we can speculate. Anyway, so
that's true.
On to the next question. Okay, so this one. I feel like this one's a pretty straightforward one, but we'll see.
Sure.
If you had to choose, would you kill Hitler or Stalin? Joseph or Adolf? Who's it going to be?
I'm going to say Hitler.
You go Hitler? Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would say that.
Yeah.
Hitler or Stalin?
But, yeah, because it's important to keep in mind, Stalin actually killed more people.
Mm-hmm.
Hitler's just the more famous one.
Yeah, but who's
more evil?
Right?
That's true. Okay, yeah, that's a good point. Catalyst for it, because Stalin killed his own people, he didn't kill other people, and it wasn't based on anything other than because it wasn't just starvation through communism, it was something else too, right? Like, it was an actual genocide. Like, he had soldiers going to his house, killing farmers and just taking their food.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it was the hundreds of millions. Like, that's insane. That it just, and plus, so I didn't add it here, but I'm pretty sure there was a Chinese emperor who was even worse. It's like, because it's from thousands of years ago.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like, you had one genocide there, and then you have this, and then more, the most recent is Hitler.
Who would you kill first? Hitler or Genghis Khan?
First? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to kill Genghis Khan. That guy was a warrior. He'd kill me.
Exactly.
If I freeze time, and then you give me a gun. First, like, I get to kill both, or... Where am I going with this? Or it's like in how recent to it? Because it's like...
Maybe...
I would kill Baby Hitler. And Baby Hitler. For Genghis Khan, he brought a lot of people... So even though he's a terrible person and he raped millions, he still brought together a lot of...
Yeah.
Like, what...
The Silk Road.
What he did, what he did was beneficial to us now.
Mm-hmm.
Even if what he did back then was terrible and monstrous. So I would kill him
after he created the Silk Road, yeah.
But then at that point, he's already caused so much damage, so I don't know if I helped there. But for Hitler, definitely is a baby.
Yeah.
I have no problem killing... Here's the thing. This would be like a Black Mirror episode where it's like someone is... A time machine is made and the British government, because Black Mirror is like a British thing, they send a guy back to kill baby Hitler.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm pretty sure there's a Twilight episode, but I'll throw my premise out there first. So he goes to kill baby Hitler, and he kills the baby, and then all of a sudden, all these like high tech, like modern lights come on, and they're just like, "We're testing you to see if we cured your psychopathy, because we've been watching you, and like we knew that you're a secret agent."
That sounds like a Black Mirror episode.
And they're like, "That wasn't."
You're sitting on the couch watching this, being like, "What the fuck? I would have done the same thing.
I would
have done the same thing.
I would have killed that baby. I'd be a psychopath." And then they go, "Psych, it wasn't Hitler." So it's their fault. I don't know. It's a bad premise. But yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a Twilight episode that I saw. I don't watch the Twilight Zone, right? But I saw this one episode. It was on TV. I started watching. And this person goes through a wormhole, this lady, and she's in Berlin in the 1920s, and she's looking for baby Hitler, or the 1910s, I forget when he was born.
Okay.
And she finds the house, she gets a job as a maid, she blends in with the society at the time, and then she gets to kill Hitler, and she just can't do it, because it's like this innocent baby, and so she's like holding it over a bridge, because it's like she ran away, so it's like she was being chased, and it's like in the nighttime, and she's got the baby, and she's like, "I gotta kill this baby," and she like hangs it over the bridge, and she just can't do it, and I think she ends up throwing herself over with the baby, so she commits murder-suicide, and then Daddy Hitler, I don't know his name, nor do I care, but he comes running, sees that happened, and is like looking around and stuff, doesn't know what to do, because obviously his wife's like, "Our baby was just stolen."
Yeah.
So he looks over to this homeless lady holding a baby and throws some Franks at her and then takes the baby. And then that baby is actually the one that becomes Adolf Hitler.
Oh.
And you're like, snap! Because it's like, it's predeterminism, right? So they're like, Hitler always existed. So even though this time machine existed, the time machine always existed. So it's like, you didn't change the past. That was always what was going to happen. Wow. It's like Harry Potter 3.
That's like, insane.
You know, yeah.
That's...
Like, it sucks, because it's like, as far as, because that would be if the multiverse didn't exist. If it did exist, then we would be able to change history.
Exactly.
And then that would just become a different timeline that you now personally exist in.
See, if she wasn't so evil and decided to influence Hitler instead.
That's right.
Maybe this would never happen.
Exactly. But, because then the dad becomes paranoid and is like, this homeless baby is now our baby. You know, wife, I know the difference. I don't know how that would end, but
you're raised in a terrible
because now it's like, "You're not going outside," like, you know, we don't trust anyone, and then the kid becomes a psycho.
What do I do?
But anyway, okay, we're gonna move back on to you.
Yeah,
for sure. I just had to get those questions out of the way. I felt like, you know,
that was fun.
yeah it was awesome. So what exactly is it that you do for work, if you could roll it up into a summary?
If I were to roll it up into a summary,
not exactly an elevator pitch, but you know.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so I work in HVAC and like energy systems in general.
Yeah.
That's our industry. What we do for work is wholesale distribution, and we try to connect people to basically improve an industry where technology is aging, not getting any better, and contractors are generally pretty reactive. So you think about like all the inefficient systems that we have in a home, or like older homes, older buildings. Okay. I'm like, me specifically, I'm trying to work to improve all that. To improve it so that like we're seeking out better efficiency options, but also not driving up co-costs, or not driving up I guess like costs for
the
end user. So you have to think about like payback periods and everything. But the company in general, we actually we're a sales organization. We're wholesale distribution, kind of like your Costco, but for contractors only. We're dealing with gas products, you know, stuff under pressure. Can't sell to Joe Blow, sorry. He just said, like, you have to be careful on that end, but so that's essentially what we do. How we do it is actually really fun, because we have over 300 locations across across Canada.
Yeah.
And we hire what we like to call swans. So people who are smart, work hard, ambitious, and nice.
Oh, nice.
I love it. And the whole development process with our company is amazing. Like, we have some great key or core business principles like, we really want to inspire people to, like, live into your dream and,
yeah,
like, have the freedom to live into your dream. Because we kind of realized somewhere, like, when we redesigned our company model, like, our company is 110 years old.
So, really?
Yeah, it's
and
very
is it
old.
Just Canadian or is it North American?
So the company, like, we're owned by an American company now.
Yeah.
And this dude in the States that's like a multi-billionaire, it's owned by this one family now, but
oh, wow.
So the company is EMCO and it started 110 years ago. And has evolved from manufacturing like plumbing fixtures and stuff like
which,
that.
Which when I hear HVAC, like I think of some sort of tubing system,
mm-hmm.
right? Whether
yeah.
it's, yeah.
HVACs, yeah, heating, ventilation, air conditioning.
I should know that. It seems like a basic thing.
Refrigeration. But the plumbing, so this is where it gets kind of confusing because the plumbing aspect of that is EMCO is like the brand is a big plumbing company.
Yeah.
It went from manufacturing to going to actually working with during the wartime, actually supplying ammunitions and
really?
I think a lot of companies
wow.
like we had the infrastructure for manufacturing.
Yeah.
So they just switched,
use
right?
it for war. Yeah.
Exactly. And then we, we moved back into manufacturing until some point didn't make any sense. And then we had like lots of relations with our vendors or other manufacturers. So then we started distributing, which
yeah.
is I think just the evolution of industrialization and like distribution too. And,
yeah, exactly.
Right, like Amazon wasn't built like back in the day. I think distribution
yeah.
was never a thing.
So we thought about it.
Yeah,
it's just,
they're just
you
like,
know,
we make
town.
It, we're going to sell it. But now it's, we make it, we're going to provide it to someone who can sell it and outreach more people
yeah,
better than we can because we're good at making it.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Which, yeah, I think that's the only way forward in a society is to be specialized and specialized
mm-hmm.
and specialized.
Yep. Niche. Which is funny that you say that because right now what I'm trying to do is, so with our company is we're focused, like we have a plumbing division and then we have the HVAC division.
Yeah.
HVAC's a really interesting, I guess, like topic discussion when it comes to climate change right now.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, in the 70s, wasn't it a thing where freezers were putting holes in the sky? I forget what chemical they were creating.
So yeah, there's ozone depletion. So that's the fluorine and the chlorine that's in refrigerants. So
okay.
when you think of like, yeah, one of the refrigerants they're phasing out right now that's really common in all of like even residential air conditioning systems is R410A. Very common refrigerant. Or like, even like this R22 that's in your
it's my house.
Yeah, R22's like
yeah.
the stuff in your refrigerator as well. But
yeah,
it's a compound, right? It's a hydrocarbon.
Okay.
And then there's fluorine and chlorine, so HCFC as a
okay.
chain. But the chlorine and the fluorine is what kills the ozone.
Which
it's
is
not
terrifying
an actual
to think
greenhouse
of it, like it's,
gas. What's that?
Yeah. Well, it's just crazy to think about because it's like we really had no idea what we were doing when the industrialization actually began.
Yeah.
In the West and in Europe and
mm-hmm.
you know all over the place, and it's like. Like it's insane that people still think that it's like a hoax, or that the numbers are being exaggerated. Where it's like, because my mom was telling me this, how in the 70s it was certain refrigerators,
mm-hmm.
They're being thrown out as people get new ones, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all just getting trashed, and it literally created a situation where the ozone had a giant hole
mm-hmm.
that they were like, this could just never heal. Like we're losing. Everything we need. It's like the whole point
mm-hmm.
of having an ozone layer is to keep things in.
Exactly.
And so they had to, it was like a panic where they had to completely change everything. Like they had to get, like by the millions, just throwing them all out to replace them with new ones.
Yeah, which is insane.
When people think of like destroying the ozone, they think of greenhouse gases, or at least with global warming.
Yeah.
But there's also methane from
yeah.
cows is even worse.
Garbage,
it's like 10
right?
times the amount. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how... You know, delicate the earth
mm-hmm.
really is, right? Because
it's interesting in our industry, especially like the evolution of knowledge has improved so much, and it always seems like we're at the peak of our knowledge, and then something else, something else happens, right?
Yeah, you look back 50 years ago, it's amazing. We were idiots. Like,
but like now, like refrigerants are being used actually as a solution to all the greenhouse gas problems. So, where natural gas is, or like oil or propane systems to heat your home. Is like a greenhouse gas and right carbon dioxide from the combustion process. Like refrigerants actually are a closed loop system, right? So they, unless they're leaking, like they're thrown out in the garbage, like you said, they're not actually being exposed to the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So in a closed loop system, it doesn't get exposed, so it's safe, especially with all the regulations that are being done in Canada and Europe to phase out all these refrigerants.
Yeah.
It's getting better and better and better. So we talk about heat pumps now.
Yeah.
So heat pumps are basically electrically powered through a compressor drives the state change of a refrigerant to absorb heat in different times of the year. So it absorbs heat from outside, which is weird to think about because you think there's no heat in the air.
Well, I guess there's always.
But there's always heat. Like,
yeah,
even
that's
if it's
what you
negative,
learn in science.
Exactly.
There's just heat or less heat.
Yeah, there's heat or lack of heat. There's no such thing as cold.
Yeah.
And so, so you extract that heat out of the air, we'll call it energy out of the air in winter, and then dump it into like a colder environment in your home. And then vice versa, move it around the other way. And it's amazing because that's really important because right now our energy grid is we have tons of renewable energy supply but not enough demand at the right time in the right parts of the year for that renewable energy. So we're dumping and paying to dump a lot of renewable energy on the grid. So we've done our job on the grid, especially in Ontario, but now we need new solutions to meet our targets for 2050, I think it is, for climate change. And they're saying buildings, you think of like multi-unit residential buildings in Toronto that use inefficient electrically based water, or like even like rooftop units with like gas, all those little things. Like we can switch over to heat pumps and get a lot more efficient electrically, and then phase out like gas and natural gas.
It's weird to think when certain situations are a win-win, but anything that's a change, people go, everything's been working fine. Why would I change anything, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But it's like, it is broke. It's like a slow leak, like the fridge. It's like when people just don't think about it.
You
got to
keep
way.
Getting better, right? Because right now I think people look at it and they're like, it's not that bad, right? If we continue down this path, though, it'll just keep getting slowly worse. So it's better to prevent.
It's a slow boil.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, so one of the cool things that I learned recently at a conference was in 2000, I think it was 2003 and 2005, we had like smog days in Toronto, like really bad. I don't remember this as a kid, but we had really bad smog days. And then they made all those changes to the grid to move away from all of our coal plants, and now we have clear, you know, skies.
Doesn't happen anymore.
But we take it for granted, like very quickly.
Because people don't realize memory disappears. Yeah. I mean, with changing generations.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's exhausting that it works that way. It's like, you know, like when it comes to voting, young people just don't vote, and it's like because they don't own a house, they don't have the perspective, they don't have the years of experience of seeing what certain systems are like to care or to put in informed or anything,
which is a good point. Like awareness is key to everything. Knowledge and awareness is what's going to drive like
just the betterment of humanity as a whole. Because like it's the same thing with like the educational system. It ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. But it's definitely a slow leak where it's like certain people are talented in other aspects but they don't realize. Or just in a general sense, I think we would have a better society if we taught people about taxes, about just about general 100%. Things. And we don't. It's
and
like
we never do.
Like I'm clueless.
I'm surprised
like
that personal tax isn't a part of the curriculum.
It should
like
be part of elementary school
personal,
in
should,
math.
Yeah.
It should be a form of math where they go taxes and they teach you about how to live in the world.
grocery
shopping, money management, anything. Yeah, anything. Like that, right? Yeah. Like,
here's an app to manage your money. Start using it for a week or something.
Like that. Yeah. Or geography. It's like in geography, you only have to take once in high school. I don't think I took it at all in elementary school. And like, you should
have to take geography in elementary school, or was it a part of like a
class? No, I just science and social science. Like I only took it in high school once, one term.
Okay.
I did French from 4 to 9, but otherwise, yeah, geography just once. And like, that's great for people who are interested, they then continue it. Mm-hmm. But for people who don't care, it's like, you know, people get lost all the time, and it's extremely unfortunate when these things happen, especially like when it's extremely preventable. Like a lot of the time, I'm just taking this for my own personal life, but I got lost so often when I was a kid. It was insane. Like if in elementary school, they like teach you Burlington or Oakville or Mississauga or wherever you are, they just show you the grid and just show you what the city looks like and where everything is and the major streets. Because I didn't start learning that until I started learning how to drive. I'm like, oh, so there's New Street, and then I think, yeah, Walker's, New Street and Walker's, that's like the closest thing up to. But then I didn't know any of the other streets. I literally only started once I started to drive. So I was 16 years old before I actually learned my own city.
Wow.
Which is embarrassing. I guess for other people, it's like if they bus to school or something, then...
Or walked or something.
Yeah, they would learn a lot easier. Mm-hmm. For me. It just, you know, my school was literally one block away from my house, so I didn't learn anything.
Might have to pull out a map.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't know. But so improvements can definitely be made in the educational system, and that would obviously help benefit society
for
in the future.
Sure. No, that's a great point. Yeah. I'm surprised that I thought they were changing that in the curriculum, though, that now they're having like personal finance and
they are perfect. There we go.
I hope so.
Yeah. And you know, if we could. Oh, okay.
Sucks that we don't get that. But
yeah, it's too late for us, but for the future. Yeah. So I guess this is semi-topical, but. Sex ed, what's your take on that? You know how Ford took power and then he was like, let's get rid of the 2015 curriculum, let's bring back the 1998 or whatever it was, where homosexuality and bisexuality and all that kind of stuff didn't exist. So it's like, if you were going through that, your teachers would not help you and there was like no information about it.
Yeah, that's
dumb. It's weird. Yeah, because
it's like our topic about getting progressively better. Now you're just taking a step back. Why would you ever do that? Does it make any sense to do that?
I think there was more of a Catholic hold on sex ed back in 1998, and maybe it might have been more liberalized in 2015. Yeah. So instead of teaching people about safe sex, they want to teach people how not to have sex.
Abstinence, right?
And humans don't work that way. No. It's like it doesn't matter what religion or creed you're part of. You can repress your kids all you want, but they're still gonna fuck. It's hardwired into them. It makes more sense to them than following rules.
Yeah, like
it's literally.
You can teach a kid how to be on a diet, but he's still gonna eat.
Yeah, it's like, you know,
it's like a basic like survival technique.
Yeah, right? It's like, how about you don't get an STD? Yeah, what's called now? STI.
STI, STD.
Yeah, don't get STIs. Don't get pregnant. You're a kid yourself. Don't get pregnant. But instead, they're saying, don't do it. And then now you got a show
don't
called
do
16
it.
And Pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What was that from? Was that Mean Girls or something?
I think so.
Like, you're going to get horny and you're going to want to have sex. Don't do it.
Don't
do
it.
Just don't. And like, what's the word? Just don't do it.
Don't do it.
And then he gets caught like banging this tune. So. Okay, so we're running a little short on time here. So I'm going to jump into the opinion section real quick.
Okay.
And then if I have it on again, I'll ask you more personal questions. Because I got tons here. I'm going to talk about your childhood, like, you know, the meaning of life, all that kind of stuff.
I didn't even have to pay for a psychologist. I could just come here and talk to the world.
That's right. I think the audience space now is just one. Not my girlfriend, but yeah. Well, yeah, exactly.
To be honest, I haven't listened to it, but I need to figure out. It's awareness, right? Where do I get this?
It's Apple Podcast or on my website.
There you go. I know about your website.
Yes.
Your website.
TheJoeVan.com. It's worth checking out. But yeah, so in the dying minutes we have here, I will ask you, what is your opinion? Honestly, I'm not going to ask this first question anymore. I've done it enough. I'm not even going to tell you what it is.
Okay.
But it's the same answer every time.
Yes.
And I think everyone's exhausted, so...
Okay.
Ask it anyway.
Yeah. Now I'm curious, or you can ask me later.
I'll ask you later because I'm gonna think I'm literally done with it now. What is your opinion on space travel?
Space travel.
Yes. a worthwhile venture?
Necessity, no. Interesting, yes.
Do you think maybe it would be a necessity 50 years from now?
Possibly. It depends on how much we figure out about our own planet.
Yeah.
And then maybe we can start fucking up other planets. I'm just kidding.
They're already dead. No. That's the best part. You just land on... You can make it worse. I guess you could blow up the core, but... Yeah. Otherwise, there's nothing you can do. Just build a bubble and start a society, and then...
It's a perfect premise
for a horror movie.
Again, like, we can keep getting better, but let's get better for the right things. Like, let's focus on our planet first, and then, like, start venturing out. But doesn't mean we shouldn't develop that, because... It's already happening anyway, right?
Yeah, we got the SpaceX, so we're okay.
Exactly.
Actually, NASA recently announced that they're going to start allowing advertising on their ships. So, and the first one to say yes to this was Budweiser. So you're going to get Budweiser on a rocket. It's embarrassing and it sucks.
For 2 seconds.
Yeah. And I'm sure they'll have advertisements the whole time. The astronauts have to, like, read out ads while they're trying to give lessons.
That's so stupid. What?
But if it gives money... Because here's the thing. What is it? I think it's... 0.99% or maybe it's 1% of the military's budget worth goes towards NASA. Just barely 1% of the military worth in America goes to space.
And that's all of NASA's funding?
Yeah. That's embarrassing. Yeah. It's like at least put it at 5%.
Well, they pulled a lot of funding from NASA within the last... Yeah, recently.
But hey, so now they got advertisement. They were getting desperate. They're like, we don't want SpaceX to beat us, man. Like, yeah. Back then, it was military use, right? Because it was like, we got to beat the Russians. We had that purpose, that drive.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll throw another one at you here. What is your opinion on the afterlife?
The afterlife?
Yes. So maybe not specifically ghosts or, you know, what's your take on the afterlife?
Honestly, once you're dead, you're dead.
Oof. And then bites the dust.
I'm a true believer of that. Live your life now. Yeah. Do everything you need to do now, because once you're gone, you're gone.
Even if
Hinduism,
you're not,
though, is very interesting. Yeah. And again, the constant
cyclicality of reincarnation.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or even like it's very interesting on how they believe it, but like I don't know. I think here's the thing.
I'll say it's entirely possible that reincarnation exists, but there's no way of knowing because you don't have any memory. You're born as a new creature. Because what makes you you, right? They say your soul. Mm-hmm. What is the soul? It's your personality, right?
Yeah.
If it's not, then what is it? So what does it matter if your soul with no memory goes into a new creature and then starts to have new experiences?
Here's another question about the afterlife. Sorry, I just remember this because I remember asking someone about this.
Yeah.
When you die and if there's a heaven... Yeah. What age are you when you go to heaven?
That's right. And if you had schizophrenia, do you continue to have your mental disabilities?
Yeah. Didn't we talk about this?
We might have.
We might have talked about it over sushi. Yeah.
Because it's true.
It's
like,
true. It's
so
like the easiest.
It's like a movie plot. Yeah. You go to heaven and you're 25 years old or whatever perfect condition you like yourself as. You're shredded. You got a six pack.
Yeah.
Right? Heaven's whatever you want it to be. So you're like at a golf course or something.
Yeah.
And you have perfect memory, you have perfect clarity, right? You're not like foggy or sleepy or whatever. It's just you're perfectly aware. But you're not like too smart because then you're not you anymore.
Exactly.
So you're whatever that level.
Maybe you just.
The best
just,
you. That
yeah,
you
the
can
best
be.
You that you ever were.
Imagination's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, yeah. Yeah. What are you going to do? So there's the afterlife. I'm going to throw one more in here. What is your opinion on the current state of the world? Do you think we're doing okay? We could obviously do better, right? I mean, nobody's going to...
We can always do better.
But, like, compared to 100 years ago.
Compared to 100... Honestly, I'm more optimistic than maybe most people.
Okay.
If you think about even less than 100 years ago, right? We had 2 world wars... Right?
Yeah. That wasn't fun.
Devastated an entire group of people. Like,
Blew up Japan. That must have sucked.
Yeah.
Radiation. Yeah. Oh.
I think we're getting better. And I don't believe... I know some people believe that there's going to be another world war. I think we're too smart to get to that.
Yeah, like the Twitter war happened. I think that was World War III. Trump and King Jong Il.
Yeah.
Mr. Rocket Man. Yeah. And nothing...
People are too consumed with themselves now that it won't matter happen.
That's true. Nobody's gonna join a war.
There's too much Instagram and Facebook to go on to have, like, to be
join
about
an entire
a
nation to draft an army.
What would happen to Instagram and Facebook if there was a World War III? Would it just like be like soldiers like
Taking selfies next to dead bodies. What side would Facebook take? What if there's a civil war again in America? What side would Facebook take? Because you got California in the south and you got New York up there, right? So as far as liberal versus like more Republican or central, I don't know.
Let me tell you, I'll invest in Snapchat.
It's crazy. Yeah, yeah, exactly. At that point. As soon as the bombs drop, just invest.
Yeah.
All right, well, hey, it's been awesome chatting with you. It's been a pleasure.
I appreciate
this. Really I'd love to have you on again, so we'll see. See what the future brings.
I did have one question.
Yeah.
I'm guest number 18, but this is podcast 19.
Yes.
What happened to...
So there are episodes where I have recurring guests come on. That's happened twice, but one episode I had two people on at once. Wow. So if you do the math on that, you're now one behind the episode number. So to bring that back up, I got to have two people on again. Nice. It's fun. I love it. Some people might be annoyed by that, but it's like a little, I don't know, it's the math about it or something.
Yep.
I like. Yeah.
I was just curious. Yeah.
But yeah, there you go.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe.